The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Physio Andrew Dunn. Andrew works at Medical Exercise Clinic Personal Health in Rathmines, which specialises in treating those with medical conditions. If you've got a question for Andrew, you can WhatsApp to us now, 087 1400 106. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, people who have medical conditions often don't take exercise, but they can.
Absolutely. It's, in fact, it's more indicated in people with medical issues.
That they should.
An example might be in cardiovascular disease. Yeah. There's a prevalence of fear around causing harm if there's been a cardiac event or stenting or atrial fibrillation or surgery. Is I better not be active in order to preserve myself. And in fact, there's a higher risk of adverse events or problems with cardiovascular.
From inactivity.
It's actually safer to be active and exercising, and indeed exercising at moderate, even vigorous intensities.
Even vigorous?
Absolutely. Again, in the population we're dealing with, it can be female or male, usually from about 45 onwards. But yes, in almost all cases of cardiovascular disease, vigorous can be appropriate based on the individual, based on their medical management, based on risk stratification and so on.
Okay, now if you have skeletal problems, maybe arthritis or things like that, exercise, it might seem unattractive because it might be painful.
Yeah, and I think in terms of exercise medicine or rehabilitation of arthritic change, one of the hardest parts as a clinician is reassuring patients that as they increase their activity levels, so too do their symptoms increase. And you often lose people at that point because they feel, well, I definitely shouldn't be doing this because it's making things worse. What typically happens is after about 6 weeks, it plateaus, you remain stronger and fitter, and that curve starts to go back down and the symptoms recede. And I can only speak for myself here on this as a 45-year-old with an arthritic knee. I couldn't run in my 30s, and in my 40s, I can run pain-free. I still have arthritis, but I did strength training. Obviously, I know what to do because I'm trained in it, but it's an example, a useful example that arthritic change is not that limiting a factor.
Now, what about people who've had diseases like cancer diagnosed and have had appropriate treatment? Often they will become more sedentary after those medical adventures.
Yeah, well, look, the medical oncology treatment of cancer has evolved and become so nuanced that people are really living far longer, and very often with a cancer diagnosis, it's not fatal, and people are living long periods. The standard of care is usually radiation therapy, chemotherapy, hormone therapy, and the American Society of Clinical Oncology have recently published saying exercise prescription in cancer patients ought to be that fifth standard of care. So you might be dealing with a breast cancer patient. The really interesting statistic is, a fit breast cancer patient has a 36 to 37% risk in recurrence of cancer versus an unfit breast cancer patient. So that's profoundly impactful if you are managing to get yourself into that kind of out of the low level fit zone into the moderate or higher level.
Now,
fit
I've always
zone.
Wondered, there are two things I always wondered about in terms of trying to exercise. For example, if you are obese, you're carrying a lot of weight. Therefore, you're doing more work when you're exercising. So does that do you more good? If you're carrying more weight, therefore.
Not necessarily. I think what it can do is it can put pressure on joints. It can put pressure on systemic issues like your internal organs. Typically speaking,
the cardiovascular effect of carrying more weight,
yes,
imagine might be positive.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the sense the perceived level of exertion for the patient is higher, and therefore are they getting more value out of the work? That's a tricky question. Yeah. I'm not sure.
That's why it's perplexed me.
Yes, typically speaking, though, you there'll be more of a strain on the system as opposed to less of a strain. In the cases of obesity, it's really important to look at exercise in terms of health gain as opposed to weight loss. because exercise doesn't actually lead the evidence-based to significant weight loss. It has to be lifestyle management across about five or six other factors, including sleep, diet, hormonal health, medications, and so on.
The other question is about exercising in the cold weather. Are you better off exercising in, without just a singlet on top rather than wrapping yourself up because you need to give energy to heating your body and therefore you will lose more weight by exercising in a singlet? Or are you better wrapping yourself up and sweating like a pig?
I don't think the amount of clothes, unless you're training in the Arctic Circle. Okay, so like in a moderate climate like Ireland, it doesn't matter. You obviously don't want to overheat and you don't want to be too cold going, and you don't want to start your activity at too high an intensity because you'll pull muscles or you'll cause a little bit of tissue damage or injury if you're underprepared and not warmed up sufficiently.
Now, some of the questions coming in. I've had a pain in my lower left calf for about 2 years. Came when I was doing quite a bit of running. I thought it was an Achilles injury that would heal in about 8 weeks, but I still cannot run without it flaring up. Can this ever be healed, or is it for life? I've had no physio yet, but if it can be healed, I certainly will want it healed. I really want to run again, just turned 40, and I want to get back to the running I love.
Well, look, that sounds, if it was a muscle injury of its own accord, it would have healed up by now.
Okay.
And muscles heal typically in a much shorter period of time. That sounds like a tendon injury. And they...
Tricky.
They present, they're very tricky. There's a phrase that's used for them, it's called flare and repair. As you do activity, it eases off. Then it flares up when you stop activity, then it repairs again. So people get massively frustrated when they've, like a 40-year-old who's trying to get back running.
So should he be running through it then?
Not necessarily. Like, it's about dosage. It's like a medication, right? There's an optimal amount of work he needs to do, and it's probably less than he's doing. And he needs to gradually progress that in order for the tendon to repair and heal. But the sweet spot is very difficult to find. If he does too much, it'll flare up again, then it'll repair, and he ends up kind of where he started. It's
Can you ask Andy if a partial rotator cuff tear is rehabbable, or is it inevitable surgery?
No, it's absolutely... appropriate for rehabilitation. Indeed, so is a full rotator cuff rupture. They can be repaired
without
surgery. If you don't get surgery early on in these phases, very often the likelihood of surgical success is reduced. You need to get, if you're getting tendon repair, it needs to be done relatively early in terms of the rotator cuff. But you can absolutely restore function over time with either a partial or complete tear of the rotator cuff.
I'm in my 50s, I'm female. I've had a shoulder pain since August, mostly raising my arm or leaning my arm back. I'm still doing light weights four times a week. Should I stop?
No. So a lady in her 50s, as a female, is probably also dealing with menopause, with bone mineral density issues, with hormonal health issues. It's vital that she maintains strength training. She just needs to avoid aggravation of that shoulder until she determines what's going on, which is a multitude of other areas in her body she can do strength training for that's appropriate for her spine, her hips, her knees, her lower limbs in general, her back, her abdomen. But yeah, if she's got a pinch from a certain activity, she needs to find out what that is before causing further exacerbation.
Any ideas for relief for waking up with pain in the back every morning, center of back, thoracic spine area? I feel like I've been punched in the back and winded when I wake up every morning. Could a firm memory foam mattress be contributing to my issues? Is the mattress responsible if you wake up with the pain in the back?
I would probably say no. It's usually to do with the cumulative day-to-day activities of that person. For example, if they were very sedentary and they're gradually building up compression in the mid-spine, you can stiffen up a lot through that. If they were out working on a farm every day and they're moving a lot, that's quite different. I'd look at it quite differently. But typically that type of, interesting that they say they feel winded or short of breath, that can often include issues around rib cartilage or rib cage. And if that's compromised, the lung doesn't expand and retract as much, so people can feel quite short of breath.
One presumes that it eases out as the day progresses, because she's not talking about, you know, day-long pain.
Absolutely, on waking, yeah. And again, the answer is probably in the question then, with activity, with warm, increased vascular activity and tissues warming up, the symptoms ease off, that's usually a very good sign.
Final question. Any advice on elbow pain? I'm a plasterer by trade and it's gradually getting worse over time. Obviously needs the elbow vitally as a plasterer.
Absolutely. In any kind of tradesmen, we see it often with knee pain, for example, or shoulder pain or elbow pain, where there's a repetitive need to use that joint. I would say that person, again, usually the issue is the elbow tendon. Tendons have popped up a lot today. Mm. Tendons have lower blood supply than muscles, which means they're longer to heal. So something like dry needling could really help that practitioner reduce the symptoms for his elbow and get back to the work he needs to get done.
Well, that's all we've time for. Andrew Dunn, who's a physio with Personal Health. Andy, thank you very much for answering all our questions.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But up next, it's Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.